As we've been talking the past few weeks about glorifying God in our lives, our purpose on earth being to glorify God and enjoy God forever. I don't know how many of you have thought about that after you leave here on Sunday mornings. When you think about that and you think about your own life and examine your own life, it is really hard, isn't it? It's really hard day in and day out to walk that straight and narrow path. And it's the struggle of life that we all have to walk, we all have to endure, and we all know that it is exhausting, isn't it? We struggle with our sin. It's like Jesus said, sin is right at the door, waiting to get into our lives and cause us to sin against God. It's just amazing how it affects our lives each and every day. And what eventually happens when we sin against God, and we know that we do, the Spirit bears witness with our sin. It puts a blemish on us, and hopefully it convicts us, and hopefully we feel differently when we've sinned, because that's evidence of the Holy Spirit in us trying to bring us back around to repent and ask forgiveness of our sins. And we know that when we do, God forgives our sins. Most of us remember Billy Mays. He was the pitch man for OxyClean in recent years on television. And the line that he always used was, it gets out the tough stains. And he had all of these kind of examples of shirts and pants and things, grass stains, food stains, juice and wine stains. All these were outward stains, you see, that he was getting the stain out. Some of them had soaked through pretty deep, but essentially they were outward stains that he was removing. Unfortunately, the inward stains of sin remain in all of us. As long as we live in these bodies of flesh, we will never be free of sin. Sin has a way of appealing to our fleshly desires. As we talked on Tuesday night, sin has its foundations in a lie. Okay? Eve was lied to by the serpent. God gave laws to Adam and Eve, and Eve was lied to, and she looked at the fruit and she made a crucial decision and unfortunately believed the lie and picked the fruit, and so did Adam. That's where sin is born, in the lies that the father of lies, as Jesus called Satan, puts into our lives every day. He lies to us over and over again. And aren't we susceptible to that? Those temptations. We want to hit ourselves on the head because we just do it over and over again. As long as we sin, our souls are going to be vulnerable to the effects that sin has on us, namely the stain and the tainting of our relationship with God. When we sin, our relationship with God becomes tainted. There's stress. There's something happens there in that relationship. And unfortunately, we can't get the stains out. Isaiah writes, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. In other words, we've all become like a person who's unclean, but we try and try. We think if we do more good or do something good, our sins will kind of disappear. But that's not the way it works. Isaiah says all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's not what brings the cleansing into our lives. Concerning Judah's willful sin, spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, when God spoke through Jeremiah, God said, although you wash yourself with soda and use an abundance of soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the sovereign Lord. And a lot of times, that's what we do. When we've done something against God, we've sinned against God, we try and cover it up somehow. We try and change things to make it look like something other than what it really was. And what we're doing, we're covering up the truth. And trying the wrong way to go about that. When Paul is speaking about Christ's love for the church and his sacrifice for the church in order to make the church holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word in Ephesians, Paul said he did this to present the church to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, speaking about Christ's love for the church and his sacrifice for the church to make her holy and blameless without blemish. The only one that can who can rid us of the stain of sin is the one who says in Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword." I'm going to stop here for a minute. This is very important. The Lord beckons to each one of us. Come now, let us reason together. In other words, he's saying, let's just stop and think about this for a second. Though your sin is like scarlet red, they shall be cleansed and white. Though the red is crimson, they'll be like wool. He's speaking of white wool. Come, let's think about this a little bit. Let's reason together. Together. You see, the Lord constantly calling us into that situation where we should sit down and express our struggles with the Lord. Lord, I'm struggling with this. I don't understand, and here's how I feel. The Lord knows before you even come to Him, by the way. But when we do that, we're opening ourselves up to the reasoning of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord and the forgiveness and grace of the Lord. So in our quest to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, the struggle goes on to get the stains out, to find the product which for Christians is the person of the Holy Spirit who can and will remove the stains. How do we get stains out? Well, first of all, we identify the stain's origin. What caused it? Is it a grass stain? Is it a grease stain? Is it a juice stain? We kind of identify what caused it, its origin, because that determines how we're going to go about getting the stain out. Secondly, we recognize how deep the stain is. Did it soak all the way through? Is it just on the surface? Is it superficial? Is it something I can spray and wash once? Or am I really going to have to soak this for a while and then wash it? Thirdly, we reach for the appropriate cleanser or cleaner. Knowing these things, we in our minds, all of us have made up what we use and what we think is best to cleanse the product. And lastly, we wash accordingly. In other words, we consider the fabric. We consider the color, well, guys might not, but we consider the fabric and the color and whether it's a delicate or not. We consider those things and we wash accordingly. Now, regarding our sin in this way, first of all, we have to identify sin's origin. Okay, in Psalm 103, David writes, "The Lord knows how we are formed, and He remembers that we are dust." I want you to think about this a little bit concerning our sin. David also says in this psalm, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him," meaning those who revere Him. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear or revere Him, because He knows how we are formed and He remembers that we're dust." In other words, the Lord takes into consideration our human condition. And that human condition is called original sin that David talks about in Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil." Listen to what David says. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. This is what we call in theology original sin. In other words, as I keep emphasizing, we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We are born sinners. Yes, that little beautiful baby is born with a defect, and it is called the sinful condition, original sin in that child. And something has to be done with that, or done about that, during that human being's life. David said, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow." Hyssop was a firm plant that had like firm branches. It was the stuff they used to put the lamb's blood over the door at Passover. They used the hyssop, you know, because it was stiff. And maybe there's some symbolism here when he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop." Possibly he's meaning, by your blood, let the angel of death pass over me. But however, hyssop is also used for digestive purposes, and it was used as a laxative. So when David was asking the Lord to cleanse him with hyssop and wash him whiter than snow, he was asking the Lord, cleanse him inside. You see what I'm saying? And outside. Cleanse me wholly as a human being. So cleanse me with hyssop. I've been born this way. Original sin has affected me, and only you can cleanse me, Lord. I want to briefly talk about original sin and how it's passed down. When Adam sinned, Adam became sinful. Okay? Now, you and I are all descendants of Adam. We've originally come, our original father and mother, Adam and Eve. Adam, in God's eyes, was sinful. All right? The state of sin, the condition of sin, was permeated into Adam. And things were changed after that. If you read the book of Genesis, nothing was the same from that point on. The sin nature in human beings is passed down from the man. If you're understanding what I'm saying here this morning, I'm talking about reproduction. The sin nature is passed down from the man from generation to generation to generation. All right? And as long as we're human, as descendants of Adam, we have a sinful nature in us. We are born in sin. Therefore, because we're born in sin, just like you are born with certain conditions because you inherited them from your parents, and maybe it's your abilities, maybe it's your looks, maybe it's something like that, we inherit that sinful nature from Adam and Eve. Now, in the case of Jesus, that's why Jesus' Father was the Holy Spirit. See? Because in order for Jesus to be born without sin, he could not have an earthly father. That's why the Holy Spirit was Jesus' Father, and the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. Now, I want to go on with this. We identify our sin, our sin's origin, okay, where it came from, and we understand it's very serious in us. Secondly, we recognize how deep the stain or the sin is. It's soaked in deep because it's evident outward. You know, anything that is outward actually comes from deep within. Out of the overflow of the heart speaks the mouth, and so forth. Our inner condition affects our outward actions in our lives. Philosophers will tell you that. Sociologists will tell you that. Theologians will tell you that. That when we are not acting appropriately, 9 times out of 10, there's something wrong deep inside. So we identify our sin's origin and understand how that works. We recognize that it's a deep stain, and it's going to take the third thing, the appropriate cleaner. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who revere him. It's going to take the appropriate power and cleanser. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let's draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." John writes in 1 John, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness." He writes in chapter 2, "He is the atoning sacrifice," speaking of Jesus, "for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I got to stop there because the Spirit's telling me to to put the brakes on here a second. If we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we're getting into two theological words here, expiation and propitiation. Propitiation, theologically, is the payment of something. It's paying restitution. And when we sin, the question is, do we have to pay restitution? Does God need to be paid? Is there a debt need to be paid? Or is there something that needs to be removed, which is the other word, expiate? And the key is both. He is faithful and just to forgive our sin. You see, He's the judge that forgives our sin, paying the penalty, and also cleansing us from our unrighteousness. He pays the penalty, and He removes, expiates the sin from us. It's a double dose of God's grace and power and love in our lives. Secondly, He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Let's talk about how that works. It works and worked on the cross. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. There was an exchange at the cross, understand. There was an exchange. You see, when we do a load of laundry, there's an exchange takes place. We start with clean water and dirty clothes, and we end with dirty water and clean clothes. Right? This is what happened at the cross of Christ. That exchange took place. The appropriate cleaning took place at the cross. And what happened is what we call imputation. Our sin was laid on Him, and His righteousness was imputed to us. So that God sees us as righteous because He sees that exchange took place by our faith in Jesus' work on the cross. So when we sin continuously, when we sin and initially we realize we're a sinner, we need forgiveness, we need to come to Christ and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, we understand that that exchange took place on the cross. He took our sin and we took on His righteousness. But continually in life, it's a continuous wash cycle. Wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. We can continuously come back to the cross and remember that that exchange took place. See, the enemy doesn't want us to do that. The enemy wants us to focus on nothing but the stain. You see? And the enemy wants to remind us how stained we are, how bad we are, how sinful we are, and because of that, how much God loves us. God's Word tells us no, it's the other way around, that God loves us so much, the extent of His grace and love is so much, that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin, to pay that price for us, and to cleanse us, removing it. How far? The psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west. I want you folks to really grasp that concept today, because you know something? We will never be free from sin until we die and give up this earthly body and are given resurrection bodies. We'll never be free from sin. And every time I do a memorial service and I look into the face of someone who was a Christian, I have a sense of comfort about me, because I know that now they will not have that struggle anymore with sin. Their body has been made whole. They have come full circle, and now they are back in the presence of Almighty God, because that stain has forever been cleansed away and the enemy has no more effect on them whatsoever. Fourth, so we have to identify the sin, understand that it's something we're born with, and it's very serious. Secondly, we realize how deep it is when we sin, that sin really affects us. It affects us to the core, and it affects us in our actions. Thirdly, we reach for the appropriate cleanser, which is our Lord and our gracious and forgiving God, knowing that His Word tells us over and over, these were just a few scriptures, tells us over and over and over again how loving and compassionate God is, that when we come to Him asking for forgiveness, He freely gives it to us. And lastly, we wash accordingly. Paul explains in Titus how the washing of sin works in his letter to Titus. He says at one time we were dirty. That's basically what he's saying. We too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice, envy, being hated and hating each other. Wow, that is our society in 2017. But, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, meaning Jesus, what did He do? He saved us. They were living in sin, and yet God saved them. You know, we say when we have communion, this proves God's love toward us. This proves God's love toward us. You see, He saved us not because of things that we had done, not because we were good people, not because we had a certain last name, not because we were the member of a certain church, but He saved us because of His mercy. He looked at us, He had pity on us, felt sorry for us, and chose to save us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. In other words that are used are regeneration and renovation. He regenerates us. We talk about being born again, the rebirth, being born again. The old self dies, the Holy Spirit comes and breathes new life into us. That's in sermons beyond our lifetime about how that works. If we remember in Ezekiel, the story of the Valley of Dry Bones, there were the bones first, then there were the bodies with muscle and tissue and stuff on, but there was no life in them until the Holy Spirit came and breathed life into them. We know that Adam was nothing more than clay until God breathed life into him, put His Spirit into him. You see, when we're born again, our old self dies and God breathes new life and we become His. That's called the new birth or rebirth, regeneration. And the renewal, meaning we're renovated. We're completely renovated from the ground up. You know, a house is only as good as its foundation. You can renovate a house all you want, but if the foundation is no good, what do you got? Nothing. See, from the ground up. And that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a new nature being born again. And He did this through Christ, whom He poured out on us generously through the Holy Spirit and Christ our Savior. Having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. How? Because we're cleansed, we're washed, we're reborn, we're born again, and now we become heirs. You see, and that turns into that washed completely clean by the blood of Christ. God doesn't look at the stain. He says, "You're mine." When we reach to God, initially for the first time or continually in our lives, the Holy Spirit does His work of sanctification. Sanctification is setting us apart and continually conforming us to the image of Christ. Sin throws up a roadblock. The Holy Spirit tears it down so we can continue on. You ever have that in your life where you've sinned against God? You know it, you're convicted, you go to God's Word, and God's Word tells you sin. It throws up a roadblock. You can't move on in that relationship. The Holy Spirit tears that down and says, no, this path is the Lord's path, you see. So we can continue on. Sin takes us off track and we find ourselves out in the outer rings of the target. You know, sin means missing the mark so as not to receive the prize. Sin takes us off that target, off track, and we find ourselves out in the outer rings of the target. But the Holy Spirit redirects our lives and our focus to center on what is true so that we can go on in freedom. Because when we know in our hearts that what's been done at Calvary is all that's necessary, when the enemy says to us, look at that stain, we can say, yes, but look at that cross. look at that cross where my sins were forgiven and my stain has been washed away for all eternity. I hope that gives you folks some comfort, because I know it sure helps me in my path, my spiritual journey, knowing that I can turn to the Lord. He'll let me know. He'll let me know when I've done wrong. He'll let us all know, because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And when that happens, you stop, you come now, you reason together with the Lord, you admit your sin, and ask for forgiveness, knowing that His promise tells us, because of His great grace, as high as the heavens are above the earth, His love for those who fear Him and revere Him, He'll remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. You won't have to deal with them anymore, and you can move on in freedom, doing the work that God has called us to do, and that's to share Jesus Christ with the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Bob, for the things